The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's the best one right there.
It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Blake. Blake, you are a Packer fan like myself. I don't think we need any introductions here. We are prepared for the draft. Finally, it's been a couple weeks since we've had an episode out. Kicking things off, Blake, how do you feel about your T-Wolves tonight? Huh? That's very on topic for Packers podcast.
Yeah, I know they're real interested, but I'm very scared. Ja Morant scares everyone, I feel like. And other than that, we've outplayed them for 3 or 4 games. So I'm only scared that it's on the road.
Is it... I guess you're a T-Wolves fan, but, you know, the whole Minnesota collapse thing 2 games ago, does that give you any type of happiness? Because it reminds you of, like, Vikings collapses in the past, or is it just something you deal with as a T-Wolves
fan? It's something I expect. Yeah. It's, like, something I expect, where I'm just like, yeah, those are my Minnesota teams. Like, well, you know they're going to collapse. Like, I accept it. But, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, good. Well, that's a good outlook. It's kind of like, you know, as Packer fans going into the playoffs and accepting that we're going to lose. But, you know, we'll have a fun regular season. But after that, it'll kind of...
It's like a more successful fun, though.
Yes.
It's yeah. More successful fun. You feel good for a long time.
Yeah, literally. Most of the season.
And my other teams, I haven't really felt good in ever. Like,
yeah, shoot. Yeah, you don't really get the hope as a Minnesota fan. As a Packer fan, you don't get much pain during the season, and then the playoffs, it all just comes at once, and, you know, you want to kill yourself.
Yeah, it hurts. I like that, like, pain, though, if we're going to be, like, real. Like, just being there, that's more fun.
That's true.
It's more fun.
It lets you know
when you're sitting and watching everyone play, it just sucks. It sucks.
I guess, since you're here, do you have any predictions on how this series will end for the T-Wolves?
I got Wolves in 6, baby.
Okay, wow. Okay, Bucks in 6. All right.
Yeah.
Well, with that, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had an episode, so I figured we would get something out there before the draft, even though we are recording the Tuesday beforehand. So I'm going to quickly go through some of the quick stuff of the offseason, the moves the Packers have made, where we're at now with the roster, what we have for holes, with how the draft, the prospects, you know, where it looks like there's some strengths in it. Seems like everything's kind of tying up well for the Packers going into the draft for, you know, where it seems to be a trenches heavy, wide receiver heavy draft and, you know, quarterbacks, running backs. You know,
I don't feel like worried about the draft. I feel like we can just enhance ourselves. Like,
yeah,
like you need some pieces, sure, but like we've been in way worse situations.
Very true. I'll just hop right into it since you've recorded last. Packers trade away Davante Adams. Biggest thing about that now, obviously, we have a huge hole at receiver, but we did get the 22nd and 53rd overall pick. Other guys we have lost during the offseason. MVS signed with the Chiefs. Billy Turner went back to Denver. Lucas Patrick signed with the Bears, along with EQ. Oren Burks is with the Niners. Shannon Sullivan is with the Vikes. And Zadarius Smith also signed with the Vikings, which...
That's the worst one.
I'll save that for when I get Kyle and Hank back to rank, because I have been a... notorious Zadarius hater since the start of last year, and it kind of went down the shitter. Anyways, keeping the band back together mostly. We extended Preston Smith. We re-signed Devondre Campbell and Razul Douglas, which was a little surprising, but I guess after moving on from Devonta, we had some more room.
Makes our secondary wild.
Yep. A lot of options there, especially going into the draft. Robert Tonyan will be back. We signed punter Patrick O'Donnell, 4 years, or 2 years, $4 million. Nice to have someone who will hold. It looks like Jerron Reed, the defensive lineman, and also Sammy Watkins just a couple weeks ago. So we have some type of receiving core going into the season. But yeah, those were the moves we made for the most part. Now just looking at what we have on offense. Once again, Packers have a huge hole at receiver. I mean, when the depth chart shakes out with like Cobb, Lazard, Amari, Winfrey, and Watkins, it's not exactly the best, you know, outlook we've ever had at that spot.
It's the only position I feel like we really need.
Yeah, and we'll get into it later too, but with the first four picks, we have to take a receiver. I would be shocked if it doesn't happen.
Just gotta.
And, you know, even after day one, maybe we don't come away with a wide out, but, and Twitter will freak out, but who really gives a shit about that at this point? Because we've had so much success in the second round.
I feel like Twitter's going to burn down, period, no matter what we draft, so you might as well just accept it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, unless, you know, if we go both Georgia guys, if we get, like, Pickens and Jordan Davis, then it would be a little bit better. Keep those G's on the helmets. But, wide out, obviously a big need. Offensive line depth. I still like our offensive line for the most part. David Bakhtiari coming back from injury. Elton Jenkins also coming back from injury. But we do have Runyon, Myers, Newman, and Yosh Nyman, who will figure out if he's going to play right tackle. I think after draft week, we're going to have a better idea of what
they feel like.
Yeah, what our veterans are going to be next year. Adam Stanovich, during his presser a couple weeks ago, he did talk about the decision to go with a veteran in the playoffs instead of Yosh. And I don't know, maybe he's going to see the the mistake that was and finally give him a full shot, because he even said they were a little surprised with how well he played last year. Tight end, another kind of need on offense. Obviously, running back and quarterback probably not going to go there, but Big Dog, Robert Tonyan, Dominique Daphne, and Tyler Davis, which a lot of people have forgotten about. I thought he was a decent plug and play late in the year, so I don't think tight end is a huge need. We can go into the season with these guys, but obviously it's about as average to mediocre as the tight end spot could really
Would you put DeGuara in there as well? Or you think he's going to play like more of a
fullback thing? I forgot about Josiah DeGuara, but yes, he is that, you know, H-back kind of move.
I just asked that because they talk about him as like a fullback as well, like moving him around, but like, I think he's more of a tight end, but
yeah, no, he's more of a tight end. He's one of those guys where, well, sorry, not him, but the entire group where everyone fits like different niches. If we could combine them all into one guy, then we'd have a good tight end. But right now it's a bunch of just whatever's.
Yeah, parts are greater than the sum.
Yeah, even like Big Dog, who I thought was pretty reliable for the most part. Kind of, you know. You know, we love him. He does the intro to the podcast, but he did fumble in the playoffs. But we'll see what happens there. Defense, Packers' largest hole is probably the defensive line. We obviously have Kenny, Jerron Reed, who we just signed. But then we have Dean Lowry, who's, you know, about as average as it comes, but he is also in a contract year. And with Kingsley Keke gone, I think we've kind of glossed over that, but he was getting some significant snaps, and we always were holding out hope that he would become a little bit more of a player. Still have TJ Slayton and Jack Heflin. Slayton, obviously the big body guy drafted last year. See what happens there. Edge, Preston, Gary, Garvin, Ramsey, Tippa. Once again, not a huge hole there, but if we lost Preston or Gary, it would be pretty awful. We were lucky we had Gary when we did last year with Za'Darius not really playing. That would have been a huge hole. I don't think the Packers would have been as good as they were last year if we didn't have that depth. So I think it's a big depth need. Along with that, safety. Right now, I think we're set with Amos and Savage, but both of those guys are pretty much in contract years.
We won't sign one of them for sure.
Yeah.
We'll keep one, but we won't keep one.
Right. Like, Savage obviously has the high upside, fast, athletic, and Amos is, you know, the veteran guy who's kind of mistake-free. I, for one, would rather stay with Amos. And there wasn't much that we got from Goody's presser on this week, but the one thing he said is that he wasn't going to exercise any of the fifth-year options between Gary and Savage. I think for sure we'll bring Gary back with that fifth year option. But with Savage, I think he's kind of shown his hand a little bit that they are looking at the possibility of taking a safety in the with the first four picks that they have in the first two rounds. So we'll look for that. But yeah, okay. Catching my breath a little bit there. There was a lot to kind of go through with the
there was
entire offense. But those are all the holes for the most part. The Packers, to go over quickly, they have the 22nd pick, the 28th pick, both in the first round, 53 and 59, which are both in the second. 92, which is in the third, 132, 140, which are both fourth round picks, 171, which is a fifth, no sixth rounders, and 3 7th round picks. So with that, let's talk about the one position that everyone talking about all offseason, and that is the wideouts. Now, obviously, you and I, we aren't draft experts. We aren't scouts. However, I've been part of a dynasty league for over a decade now, and the one thing I do, you know, in the off seasons, getting ready for the rookie draft, is look at wideouts and running backs. So I think I'm well equipped to judge some of these guys here.
I mean, in my opinion, you're an expert. I mean...
I did win the Dynasty League this year.
You've been in fantasy football over a decade. You know, you're an expert on your opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
I've never messed with that. Yeah. So let's go through most of the wideouts here. We'll gloss over the first four who I think will either get drafted before the Packers are up, or they kind of they don't meet that threshold that the Packers look for. I guess we can get this out of the way right now, too. One thing that the Packers obviously look for in guys are athletes, the whole RAS score thing. Everyone's seen that online. It's the average for the measurables of all these different prospects, whether it's speed, weight, height, agility, all that stuff. That is what the RAS score pretty much just puts together. Score from 0 to 10. And when you look at the end of the drafts every year, usually the Packers have a lot of guys who have RAS scores above 8. So that's kind of part of what we're seeing at the wideout spot here. Briefly, go through a couple of these guys. Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, I think he'll be gone. He seems to be the consensus number one. You never know what happens when the draft actually starts up, but we'll see. I don't think we have to talk about him much. Drake London, 6'4", USC, big guy. No RAS score because he's banged up and hasn't ran, but I don't know. A lot of guys really love him. I don't love him. He doesn't really meet what the Packers usually look for, but I could very well be wrong. I know you like.
I don't love him or anything. Out of like, if you could like pick out of the group, but like where we're drafting, I don't know. Like he's like an option that I look at, and just the size is, I don't know. The size is nice. We play in the cold sometimes, so you might as well have some size too. If he comes, I won't be disappointed.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. I wouldn't be disappointed either. I guess the guy I would be a little bit more disappointed with would be this Dotson out of Penn State.
Yeah, like if we're gonna do anything, we got slot guys like.
Right.
Like, if you're going to do a slot guy explosive at that point, if like, someone's available, like, Olave is who I'd go for.
Yeah, well, but, hey, we're going to get there. Tipping picks. But yeah, Dotson, he only has a 6.25 RAS score. Two Packers have drafted guys like that in the past, but probably wouldn't do it that high. And the last guy to talk about who I think is out of our range would be Jameson Williams, the wide receiver out of Alabama, who obviously tore his ACL in the championship game. But yeah, super fast, lightweight. He would be a great replacement for MVS, but I don't believe the Packers are going to do that. One with the injury thing too. Packers usually, you know, we always say that the Packers stay away from injured guys, or that's kind of been something that is brought up, but we did take Eddie Lacy, who had kind of that foot problem or at the end with Alabama. And there's been some other guys in the past too. I'm trying to think, well, I mean, just Gary with the shoulder. That was one thing. Kevin King, I think, had the elbow or shoulder too coming out of college. So if we move up, I think that would be the guy we'd take, but I don't anticipate that happening.
Yeah. I mean, he would be great. I don't think he's going to be there. And if he does fall there, I like don't see the problem of taking him. It's another one where I'm like, yeah, receiving core like could use him right now. And like, but he won't be there till December at the earliest, right? Maybe. And if that's the thing, and we're trying to like win, we're trying to band everything back together. So I don't know.
It's tough because I've thought about it too, and it's dumb. It's surface level shit. But with the wideout position and why I think we're going to invest heavily this year, first off, Goody really hasn't. You know, the only time he really has was taking the three wideouts a couple years ago with
MVS and Jamal Moore and them.
Yeah. And that's been kind of 50-50 for how those guys turn out.
I'd say the only one really panned out, got a real like second contract, was MVS.
Yeah, but even like mid-round guys to last this long in the league, like even EQ could be said he's a success, but I at the same time, I'm kind of glad he's not on the team. Anyways, looking forward, I think if you invest in guys now, it's dumb, but especially with, they're all young guys, rookies, I think it would be a good way to keep Rodgers around too, because you got to think like at the end of the season, say, we go to the playoffs, lose, which tends to happen.
There's a high percentage in the NFL of that.
Very, very high percentage. you know, one thing sticking in Rodgers' head might be, well, God, you know, next year they're going to be second year receivers and they're going to be so much better than they were this. I finally got some offensive weapons, you know, in the first two rounds, first time in a few years. Do I really want to walk away now? And at the same time, if he does retire or something, it's like, well, if nothing else, you'll have Jordan Love set up fat with all these wideouts, a decent offensive line, the running back. So
you'll not really know who he is then if that's how it played out, because he'll have all this stuff, and if he can't do it, then you really know.
Exactly. The other thing that I'm thinking about with these wideouts, which we're getting into here, is the Packers playoff, you know, played in the cold. They haven't really been up to snuff lately, and it got me thinking to teams that have played the Packers in the past who have had a lot of success passing at Lambeau Field. Blake, off the top of your head, and we didn't talk about this before, maybe you won't get it, when you think of like wideouts or teams who have played really well against the Packers at Lambeau Field over the last decade, who comes to mind first?
Deebo Samuel.
Okay, Deebo. No, see, that was
he
the risk
has this. Just abused us okay. for almost 3 years now.
So Debo's one thing, and that's the most recent. But let's think 10 years ago.
10 years ago,
even longer. God, I said 10 years. It is
you
like
talking T.O.?
I'm talking. Now, see, now if we could find it in the middle here. Both of these guys are from the same team. I'll just say it here. I'm thinking back to some of the worst losses the Packers have had in the playoffs at Lambeau. That would be against the New York Giants.
That's fair.
I'm thinking two guys, Plaxico Burress and Hakeem Nicks. Now, in those two games, obviously the NFC Championship game in 2007 where we lost, looking back at that game, all I think of is Al Harris getting just bodied by Plaxico.
Yep.
One of the coldest games in Lambeau Field history. He still finished that game with 11 catches, 151 yards out of 251 yards that Eli Manning
just
threw in that game.
Just boxed us out all night. That's all I did. It wasn't Eli Manning making accurate throws. It was Plaxico Burress playing rebounder, and we're too little.
A big body guy at Lambeau in the cold. And then 2011 when we fell apart, big guy in that game, Hakeem Nicks, 6'1", 208, you know, thicker dude. 7 receptions, 165 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So two guys who don't exactly fit the typical mold that the Packers look for, but maybe with this recent struggle in the playoffs at Lambeau, the cold weather, maybe we'll change it up a little bit, which leads me into the one wideout that I don't know, him and Han, all these fucking guys, but Treylon Burks, 6'2", out of Arkansas, 225 pounds, 4.55 50 time. His RAS score is just 5.56, which is kind of out of the Packers range. And, you know, he didn't test well. He ran a little slower than what people were expecting. But at the same time, you look at him playing against Alabama and he legitimately outran their entire secondary.
I mean, 4.5, yeah, it's slow in the NFL. But like if you're that big, you can body a little bit, like you said. And like real athletic score, yeah, it's just like Olympics of like an athlete. But doesn't translate to football. It really doesn't. Like football, everyone thinks it's track on turf, but it's not. It's a physical sport.
Yeah, because we saw that with
can't handle like the contact. You know,
Jeff Janis, EQ guys who have all the physical traits but haven't really put it together. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know if he'll be there either, but it's hard not to like him.
I don't hate him either, though. You know, I mean, just like
everyone's
not
talking about
disappointed.
Him. Yeah, he his boar hunting. He's like killed a bunch of boars with knives when he goes out hunting and stuff. Like,
okay,
a man's man. Wisconsin would fit in.
I'll fit in with the culture for sure.
But it's another thing hearing too is he's played a lot from the slot. That's where he mostly played. He's had a lot of they kind of create touches for him too. It doesn't seem like, you know,
you say he's not a separator kind of.
Well, it's not even so much a separator, but he doesn't know the game as well as people might have thought going into the draft. He hasn't interviewed well, it sounds like.
Product of the spread, you're thinking?
Yeah.
In a way, so he's possibly?
He's one of the guys who, if he puts it together, he could be great. You know, people are saying he has, you know, he's almost like T.O. with his measurables and shit. And it's like, okay, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's interesting.
But big option there. Next guy to talk about, Chris Olave. 6 foot nothing out of Ohio State, 187 pounds, 4.39 40 time. His RAS score is 8.62. He's the one guy everyone's talking about the most pro ready. They're saying like you could pencil him in as your number two wideout. The one guy who's not going to bust of all these receivers. I don't know. He seems... Packers Twitter's kind of gone back and forth. It's been Chris Olave and then George Pickens, who we'll talk about here pretty quick. But I don't know. It's weird. He's, you know, he played at a good school. He was always pretty productive. But at the same time, these are the couple stats that jumped out to me that I found. Out of the 41 eligible receivers or top guys out of this draft class, he was 35th in yards against man coverage. And he also, what was he? And he was like 32nd in yards after the catch. Like, this dude is kind of like Victor Cruz. I'm sure everyone remembers
that. Oh, yeah.
Olave is not a guy who's going to get anything after the catch. Kind of like you catch the ball, fall down for the most part. And that's what he is. Either way, plug and play would be perfect for where Rodgers is at in his career. Any thoughts on him, Blake?
I think he's the most pro ready, like everyone says. But I'm also like, I just don't think there's an upside at all. Like, he's not big. He's not super strong. Doesn't get a ton of yards after the catch. And like our system, like, there should be some space to get yards after the catch. And it kind of scares me just with the way people are going to stack the box maybe early in the season.
Yeah.
It's because our running game is going to be good.
Right. It's like we have a bunch of guys now at wideout. Like we have yeah, a bunch of threes.
Yeah, they're not, none of them are bad, but like none are like really taking you the top off. Maybe Watkins when he's really cooking, but like no one else is really scaring you over the top.
Right. We'll see what happens with how the draft comes out. Because, I mean, Lazard, I still like Lazard, but you can't feel good about him being a number one receiver.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, next guy to talk about, mentioned him briefly before there, George Pickens, 6'3", out of Georgia, 195 pounds, ran a 4.4740. His RAS score is 9.34. He blocks. You know, he does all the dirty work. Negatives. It sounds like his interviews haven't been going well either.
Okay.
Tore his ACL last spring, but came back. Still played at the end of the year. He seems to be, if I had to pick one wideout we're going to take, Pickens seems to be the guy we would pick.
I mean, out of the run we're going to do here, the next three guys we're going to talk about, Pickens would be one. Like, not like my favorite one. I'm just saying, like, the next three we're going to talk about, he's like for sure like one of the three that I want.
Right.
I think Matt LaFleur will love him even if they hate him in the interview process or something. Right. I say that because he blocks, because Matt LaFleur loves Lazard. But this guy's a way better athlete than Lazard.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, he could be Lazard with some real upside. So that's scary, but like, that's always, you know, hit or miss. But like, I think he's good and he's going to be all right.
I would think so too. It's, you know, a lot of different receivers in this class. No real, like, prototypical number one guy, but it's kind of, you know, what niche do you want to fill with?
It's not a generational guy, in my opinion.
Right. Well, someone who could be a generational guy, who's been all the talk, you know, obviously us living in the Midwest, too. Christian Watson, 6'4", out of NDSU, 208 pounds, ran a 4.3640. His RAS score is 9.96. Physical freak, compares to Calvin Johnson. Also compares to, as we've mentioned a couple times here, Jeff Janis. All the physical tools, you know, if he went to an Alabama or any type of real actual college, I'd say. I mean, that's a little harsh for NDSU.
They're a powerhouse. They're like legit powerhouse, but they're not D1, D1.
Right.
Power 5, D1.
A little bit different, but it is a little concerning. He only played like 36% of his snaps last year. You would think he would have crushed the competition a little bit more. It's one of those where I would be excited but not thrilled, because he seems to be the least pro ready. At the same time, Ross Uglum, who I think he's with Packer Report or something now. I think he might live in Fargo or some shit. I don't know. He covers NDSU as well.
Okay.
He brought up a good point, because the one big thing is, you know, obviously he hasn't done it too much. Talking Watson here. But he brought up Sterling Shepard, who was kind of a failure for the Packers, but for an undrafted guy a couple years ago, he did pretty well. It wasn't his head that brought him down. It was he was such a small, short guy. And Ross brought up, and I remember this too, how Shepard was legitimately like helping out veteran receivers learning the playbook. Guys like EQ and MVS, I would assume, who weren't getting it as well as he was. So if Shepard was able to get it, I'm a little less concerned about bringing in a guy like Watson. It's a huge if. I wouldn't use a first-round pick on him. But yeah, that's makes me feel a little bit better.
That's how I feel about him. Like, if he slips to, like, 53 and we don't trade out of it or anything like that, I mean, that's who I would target there. Like, he's such a high upside guy. Take the top off your defense. Even if he can't run great routes right away, you can put him in for 36% of the snaps, like MVS level kind of stuff, and just let him run under it if he can catch a ball.
Right.
Like, and he is a physical freak.
It seems like he'd be able to play some special teams too, like we've said. Jeff.
Yeah, he could definitely be an outside gunner. Yeah.
Moving on, Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. He's been kind of a late bloomer for a lot of Packer Twitter people as well. Big thing for him. Everyone calls him Jordy Nelson 2.0, 6'3", 211, a 9.62 RAS score. Thing with him as well is he's, you know, Jordy Nelson 2.0, but a lot of people have also compared him to Alan Lazard. Do we really need to draft a guy who's kind of similar to Lazard? Obviously, he's a little bit quicker than Lazard is, but he's, I don't know, I wouldn't hate taking him either. With all these guys that we just talked about, it seems like, you know, so I like Burks, but guys like Burks and Watson, I would like, but if we're drafting them, I don't want them to be the only wide receiver that we take, because someone like Olave and Pickens and even Pierce here, I think they're a little bit more pro ready than the other two and could step in. So I'd want to pair them up rather than just go into the season with kind of a project at that spot.
I'd agree with that. And he, like, I didn't know that real athletic score. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, at that size.
And a white guy. I mean, you can
see. I mean, sure, the white guy, like, sure. But, like, that's interesting. I did not know that. Yeah, that's Jordy Nelson, like, athleticism, honestly. And, like, you know, he's playing in that spread, so he doesn't come out of, like, a Kansas State-level running offense. So you don't know what he's truly out like on the outside, like, ISO'd up, but...
It seems like he's a willing blocker, too, from the few things I've
seen. At that size, I'd hope so.
Yeah. Moving on, Jalen Tolbert's another guy to talk about. South Alabama, RAS score 8.85. There's a guy from Toledo, too, as well, that's been getting some hype as well. And just to bring this up, too, Packers, obviously, they have... You get 30 visits for draft prospects. The wideouts that they have brought in, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave, and Tolbert here, they all came in for visits. So the Packers are showing some interest, especially someone like Burks. Maybe they were kind of quizzing him on knowing the game and all that.
Homework.
Two other guys to talk about briefly. Tyquan Thornton, hopefully I said that name right, out of Baylor, 6'2", only 181 pounds. Decent RAS, but a special teamer. It's kind of the same thing with Velus Jones Jr., out of Tennessee, another high RAS score. Look at, they brought both of those guys in for workouts as well, and they're kind of later round picks, so I wouldn't be surprised if we throw a flyer on them with this whole new kind of focus on special teams. Those two seem like guys that they would want to throw out there. And
I've seen Velus Jones in a couple mock drafts going late day three stuff. Mm-hmm. I think they think he can return punts really well.
Yeah,
and we suck on like special teams. Period. I don't see a downside of taking him day three anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, he's athletic, and that's
crazy athletic.
Packers always kind of focus on that, and especially when you get to day three, those guys at the end are usually like just freaks who play at in the middle of bumfuck nowhere.
Right.
So, moving on. Keeping with the offensive guys briefly, just names to throw out there. Looking at the offensive line, once again, we've got some flexibility here because we have, we don't know exactly what's going to happen at the right tackle spot or when Bakhtiari is going to come back. Are we going to have Yosh play right tackle? When is Elton going to come back? Is he going to play guard? There's also some talk with Josh Myers, and the way he's still listed on the website is a center slash guard. So we could really take a center, guard, or tackle in the first couple rounds. And I would not be surprised because, as we saw last year, there's a lot of flexibility with the guys that we have. So briefly, we can go through a couple guys. First guy to talk about, Sean Ryan, offensive tackle, UCLA. And all these guys are just fucking massive. 6'5", 321, RAS score, 8.17. Then there's Trevor Penning, offensive tackle, Northern Iowa, 6'7", 325, RAS scored 9.96. Two guys who Packers brought in for workouts, Abraham Lucas, 6'6". RAF score 9.5. And there's this guy, Bam. I don't know how to say
his last
name.
Olaseni.
Olaseni, offensive tackle, 6'7". He's 26 years old.
Yeah, I'm out.
But just a massive human being. He's looking more like a mid to late draft pick. But Abraham and Bam are two guys that the Packers brought in for workouts. So, I don't know. We could take a look there, too. Those guys are all tackles. The interior offensive line, Zion Johnson, Boston College, 6'2", RAS score 9.74, and then Kenyon Green out of Texas A&M, 6'3", and a RAS score of 5.97. But he's someone who keeps popping up in mock drafts, too. But just some names to be aware of. I'm at the point where, you know, the only real needs that the Packers have seem to be wideout, offensive line depth, maybe a tight end if you want to really, you know, get sexy with it. And moving on to the defense, it's kind of the same thing where it's like defensive line, maybe edge for depth and safety for kind of depth, but also a need that we're going to have in the very near future.
I think those are about the 3-4 places we like maybe need anything, pretty much.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, talking about getting a little sexy there with the tight end, a little bit of news broke last night. Darren Waller reportedly was almost traded to the Packers during the Davante Adams trade. Seems like initially he was part of the deal instead of the second round pick that we got from the Raiders. Aaron Nagler reported this. But then the league put a kibosh on it. There's different reports out there because it seems like Raiders guys are reporting it too, that it was talked about but never going to happen. Nagler made it sound more like that the league wouldn't allow it because Davante Adams was not signed to the franchise tag, so you couldn't move a guy who wasn't tagged. Then at the same time, listening to Jason Wilde today, he talked to some guys within the organization and said he does not think that they're really trying to move Waller. But then at the same time, I listened to Nagler this morning, and he said he gave it a 57% chance that the Packers will trade for Waller this week, which is a little exciting. I don't think it would happen. Either way, he's 30 years old. He's got 2 years left on his deal, only making $7 million, which...
Sheesh, that's nice.
He's not even in the top half of tight end, so he would want a new deal. Kelsey's getting 15 per right now. I would think he'd want something similar to that. I wouldn't mind trading for him, but at the same time, I mean...
Could become a contract issue. He might not even play a year or something, but...
We would have to sign him to a new deal, which I guess if you're, you know, looking at Davante Adams wanting 30 and Waller... Probably wanting 15.
I don't think it's an awful thing if they do trade for him, because then if you get one of these rookie receivers and you only trade you trade the second back to the Raiders because that's what they want, like that's what initially was going to be happening plus a first.
Allegedly.
Like, allegedly, you know, though all this is allegedly, but yeah. I'm just speaking in hypotheticals, but I don't know. It wouldn't be the worst because if you pay him, then you got these younger guys on rookie receiver contract level things. Yeah. So it's not going to kill you in the cap at the moment.
And we haven't had any real beast in the middle since Jermichael Finley, and he would probably be that guy. But at the same time, I don't know if I want to, one, invest a draft pick, two, invest that money in a 30-year-old tight end who doesn't really block. I get a little bit of the Jimmy Graham vibes with him. Obviously, you know, I don't want to besmirch his name like that, but one of the classic Packer lines too with Ted Thompson was you'd rather move on from a guy, you know, a year too early than a year too late. And I'm wondering if we could see that from Waller here in the next couple of years. So I don't know, but something to think about. Keeping it on with the tight ends, though. Trey McBride out of Colorado State is a high RAS score. He seems to be the
best tight end in it, probably.
Yeah, there's Greg Dulich from UCLA, who the Packers had visit, along with Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin. Local visit there. And then obviously Jelani Woods out of Virginia, who everyone seems to be talking about. He essentially had a perfect RAS score, an athletic freak. Looking at his face, he looks like the perfect hybrid between Davante Adams and Jared Cook, which would be...
That's just scary.
I mean, that's just like, a face.
My goodness.
But if he could turn it into something, he would be
if
a
he was
very,
physically
very
doing that
player.
Like combo. Whew.
Yeah, that'd be something else. So I don't know, if we take a guy, I feel like it would be Woods maybe in like the third or fourth if he drops, but you know.
I think
know.
A sneaky one, and there's day three Jake Ferguson. Like,
yeah.
Like, he played at Wisconsin, so you don't see a lot of passing, but like, I've watched a lot of Wisconsin football, and he can like really play. I think he's an NFL level tight end.
Yeah, I feel like they've had those decent couple tight ends. Well, there was the dude with the missing fingers a couple of years ago. God, who else was there? I don't know. But
they had Owen Daniels, and who did they have recently?
Jesus, Owen Daniels.
He was a beast, though.
I haven't thought of him for freaking ever.
He was nice, though.
Moving on to the defensive side of the ball, some prospects. Obviously, got to start at the defensive line. Devontae Wyatt and Jordan Davis are the names that keep coming up a bunch. I don't know if Davis is going to fall that far, but if he's there at 22, I assume the Packers are going to take him. Both guys out of Georgia, both athletic. We'll see. Wyatt's one of the guys who has some character issues, it seems, but the Packers also brought him in for a workout interview. So, shows they're interested. Maybe they're trying to pick his brain before committing to him.
I mean, we seem to like Georgia guys, and Georgia recency bias-wise, they're pretty good. That doesn't mean they're all going to pan out, but...
I mean, that's one of the, like,
their
negatives.
Defense has been flat-out humming the last 2 years.
And that's what it's been, where the defense is so good where it's almost working against these guys where people are saying, well, we don't know how good they are because the defense is always so good. Because
everyone's a five-star. Like, it's exactly. An interesting argument, but when you're just dominating, like, the five-stars are playing well then.
Exactly. Moving on to safety. The two names that keep popping up the most are Lewis Klein and Daxon Hill out of Michigan. Once again, we don't have an immediate need there, but we kind of have that flexibility in the secondary. There's been some talks of, you know, Rasul Douglas could potentially play safety. Darnell Savage could potentially play nickel, that star spot. Once again, not knowing, neither of these guys are locked up beyond next year currently between Amos and Savage. So to get someone else to throw in there, it wouldn't be the worst, especially getting, you know, a cheaper deal done than paying up for either of those two. We'll see. It's also strange. Once again, I like Amos a lot, but they gave him void years instead of an extension these last two off seasons, which makes you think maybe they're looking to move on, but we'll see what happens in the next, you know, few days after the draft. That'll probably tell us a lot.
I think they'll take, like, maybe not one of those, but I bet they take a safety period in this draft for
yeah,
sure.
I would think they have to.
Just with those contract year guys going there.
It's very weird because Henry Black played a decent amount of snaps for the Packers last year, and I do not believe he is even on the roster anymore. He's one of those restricted free agent types, and they decided not to give him a contract. So it's pretty much the two guys we keep talking about, and then Vernon Scott. And, you know, just some undrafted dudes from last year. So I would assume they're going to inject that position with some
something
with some talent here. Next spot to look at, edge. There's George. God, I just hate these names.
Karloftis.
Yeah, see, it's like my last name where it's not that bad if you just say it. But looking at the spelling, yeah,
you're sizing it up.
Exactly. I'm gonna trip over myself. He's a hot name, too. I think Bill Huber for Sports Illustrated just put out a mock draft, too, where he had the Packers taking him at with the 22nd pick.
Everyone's talking about him, like, being, like, everyone's talking about getting a D-line guy, and, like, everyone's talking about a D-tackle. Like, he's my favorite out of everyone in the draft right now for us in our range if we just keep our picks. Like, I really like him.
Because he has some flexibility, too, because he's a bigger guy.
He played in a 3-4 at Purdue.
So maybe he would be a good guy to kind of fill that scenario, like, spot, too, where you can move him inside, move him outside.
The way
well.
He, like, moves, just because I watch a lot of Big Ten football, is, like, it's, like, a bad name, but, like, Julius Peppers. Like, he, like...
Not a bad name,
but I'm saying, like, if you're just, like, saying he's going to be that, okay. He's not going to just be that, you know what I mean? He could be that, but he moves like that, and he, like, dominates kind of like that on holding up the line, you know?
I still remember getting...
Setting the edge. He just sets the edge well.
You know, that's funny, because that reminds me, I remember back in the day... after his rookie year, he was pretty much injured, getting people hyped about Mike Neal, who was out of Purdue as well, I'm pretty sure. But I compared him in my brain to, like, Julius Peppers because of the size and all that, and he obviously wasn't that good. He wasn't that bad, but I was surprised after the Packers moved on from him, he never stuck on in the league.
This guy's just dominant enough where I'm just like, I just feel like he's going to be good.
Yeah, we'll see if he falls back.
That's just my speculation. But.
Yeah. Another edge to talk about, Drake Jackson, USC. He's another hot name that everyone seems to be mocking to the Packers. Another athletic dude.
You get him in the third round, sure. Yeah, I mean,
that's,
whatever.
That's what people are all right. talking. Ojabo?
Yeah, Ojabo.
Ojabo, here we go. Michigan, another one people are talking about quite a bit.
He did tear his Achilles, so
he's
out.
Okay.
But, like, if he comes back, he's fine. Yeah, he's a beast, no doubt. He would have been a top, like, 15 pick, though, if he's healthy.
I believe he might have been one of the other guys that we brought in for a visit. And to round it out, Jermaine Johnson, Florida State, we brought him in for a workout as well. So
he's crazy fast.
Yeah. I mean, Florida State has a lot of... who have we had? Leroy Butler was out of Florida State.
We drafted Javon Walker out of Florida State.
There you go. Yeah.
2002, that's our last first-round receiver pick.
Yeah, that's right. We don't need to hear anymore.
I know it wasn't great, but like you say, Florida State guys. He's a Florida State guy.
But that's kind of where we're at. Once again, this draft, it seems to be very heavy edge, decent on the defensive line, decent on the offensive line, pretty deep at wideout. Tight end seems to be hit and miss, and kind of, you know, hit and miss on the offensive line too. A lot of good prospects physically, athletically, maybe not production wise, but if you look, if you scroll for all the Packers visits for the offensive linemen, every one of those guys were like 6'5 or higher and just gigantic fucking dudes.
Well, they all have like good athletic scores, it seems like too. So like the guys are mobile, and that's like key. I feel like the way we like kick out with Aaron Jones kind of tosses, like
right,
the guy's got to be a little athletic too,
for sure. We'll see what happens. I'll say my predictions here. With the first four picks, I think the Packers, once again, I think I mentioned it earlier, I would be pretty surprised if we don't take some combination of a wide receiver, defensive lineman, and offensive lineman with those first four picks. And looking at our, you know, the first four rounds, I think they will all probably be those three positions as well, but then you add on edge, safety, and tight end. I just don't think we're gonna, I don't, you know, drafting a corner high, especially the first two rounds, I would be shocked if that happens. And obviously the same thing with quarterback or running back. But I think we're gonna have a nice mix of where the draft prospects, you know, there's a nice little overlap there of what the Packers have at a need and what this draft is heavy with, because there's not a lot of high-end picks in this draft. A lot of people have talked about too how this is the most boring draft in recent memory.
There's not a lot of top-end talent, but I think in the middle it's actually pretty talented, for how deep it is.
Which is perfect for us because we have all these picks this year. So
exactly.
I'm pretty excited. Once again, I go back and forth because there's a lot of exciting guys at all these different positions, and I would like two wideouts, but then we'd have a whole, probably at edge or safety, where these are really exciting prospects, especially edge. I feel like, you know, if we would have been here a couple of years ago and we really had that hole when we just had Matthews and freaking Nick Perry, we'd take a few guys here, but
when the edge was like a literal hole, like
we couldn't stop the run.
To the side, they're gonna destroy him.
Yeah,
that was scary. Yeah, like my predictions for the first round, I just, like, in my opinion, a perfect draft plays out. You get an edge. I already, like, I'm just going to say Carl Loftus. I want him, at 22. That's the guy I want. You have Rashawn Gary's already a monster, and you got Preston Smith playing great last year. He just keeps that going. You add Carl Loftus to that. I love that for just energy and, like, talent on the edge. Then I'm taking 28. I'm taking a receiver of one of those guys that's left. Combination of Pierce. I'm not taking SDSU guy's name again. Jackson?
Watson.
Yeah. I'm not taking him unless he's there in like 53. Then you, like, if you can't get like Pickens, in my opinion, or Pierce at like 28, those are my two favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get one of those guys. Just fall back to 53 and take Watson probably.
Yeah.
Take a chance on that. Maybe trade for another receiver, like, trade a pick next year or something. I don't know. But and then at the fourth, like last pick in the second round of the top four picks, I'm probably taking like I'm taking one of the safeties maybe.
Right.
Otherwise at that point you try an offensive lineman.
Yeah, and because it seems like offensive line, you can find someone no matter where you're at in the draft.
Well, the way we've been drafting offensive linemen since Goody took over, it's been pretty wild. Like, he is hitting on almost every one of them, shockingly, and it's, wow. I was just like, you get him another one in the second round, the guy's probably going to be talented.
I think that's a big reason. I think his name's Scott Hendrickson, who we brought over from Baltimore. He was one of the higher-ups there. He's one of our big offensive line scouts. I'm trying to think of who he's brought in, but I think that's been a big reason, too. And obviously, Adam Stenovich has turned everyone into decent players.
He's coaching the line well.
Yeah. I'm in kind of that same boat. I feel like at 22, it's going to be a defensive player. I think it's going to be a defensive lineman. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, if Davis falls, I would think him. But if not, it might be Wyatt.
I mean, if Jordan Davis is there, like, that's very intriguing because you put him and Kenny Clark in there and whoa, that's some wild stuff you can do.
There's talks, too, if he falls, wouldn't be surprised if the Packers moved up to like 19 to take him. Just because you do have so many picks this year as well. And
it's just an anomaly, like that size and what he ran. Whew.
So I would think we're going to take a defensive player at 22. After that, 28, I think that's the spot where we're going to take a wideout. But I wouldn't be, if one of those safeties fall there or there is still a really talented edge, wouldn't be shocked if you do that. But once again, if we don't leave the second round without taking at least one wide receiver, everyone's saying like Pierce is the guy who you can pen in as a Packers wideout because he is such a Packers type guy. I don't know. We'll see. But another thing to talk about too, and I love this kind of deep thinking. I think Tom Silverstein brought this up, how he wouldn't be surprised to see the Packers trade back from the first this year and try to get a first for next year, because next year is going to be, you know, a much bigger, well, anything would be, deeper quarterback class than this year.
There's more top-end talent next year.
Top-end. I wouldn't be surprised if he's trying to get some picks, maybe even move Jordan Love, because that's the other talk, too.
They've been talking about it all week. Apparently, who did I see today that really was, like, getting up on him? I can't remember who it was. It might have been...
Was it Jeremiah Trotter or something? I don't know. But
I can't remember.
They're saying Jordan Love would be, like, the number one quarterback out of this draft class.
Yes.
If you could, like, trade away Jordan Love, maybe trade back in the first, get a couple draft picks, hold on to them, and then move up next year to take the heir apparent, that would be fucking awesome. I would love that. But who knows? Lots of things to talk about. Well, not much to talk about now. It's finally, we're at the end of mock draft season.
About ready to do her.
I am so sick of Twitter and everyone's cute little mock drafts where it's either like everyone with this name or just wideouts. I'm just ready for it to finally be over.
Let it happen. So then we can really just size it up.
And then spend, you know, all of Thursday and Friday night just looking at highlight tapes. So.
Yeah, you're going to watch a good 10-minute video.
For sure. And then you'll be an expert. But yeah, that's all we have. I think we'll hopefully get something else out after the draft, but I wanted to throw something out there beforehand, just get some thoughts out there. With that, Blake, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Wolves in six. Ant's got 30 tonight.
Who?
Anthony Edwards.
Oh, God. Didn't he suck the last game?
No.
No, was it the one before that?
He hasn't actually played bad. Carl Anthony Towns has played bad
games.
That's
right. He's so soft.
Anthony Edwards is averaging like 25 as the first four playoff games of his career.
Who would you compare Cat to in the NFL for quarterbacks?
Ooh, that's good.
Ooh, okay, I got mine now. I asked the question, but you go first.
I would say Dak Prescott.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Because he puts up crazy numbers, but then when the moment meets him in the face, he does not meet the moment.
I feel like they both have that same, like, stupid face on, too, when they mess up or something goes wrong.
They're like, yeah, like, it's somebody else's fault every time, and it's never actually their fault, and it's like, yeah, sure it isn't. When you can just clearly see sometimes, like, yeah, that was your fault. Not all of it's Towns' fault, but like sometimes he just does not help himself.
That's fine. I'm glad we both agreed on that too. And hey, Cat, Dak, it kind of rhymes too. I think we found the perfect...
Hey, three letters.
Yeah. So, well, shit, now actually with that, I don't have anything else. Blake, you got anything
else? I got nothing else now.
Cool. All right. Well, with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. Worked all year, I worked all month, then they took my money away, yeah, well now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Pack of cigarettes. You can take the job or shove it. Cause I ain't working here no more. I ain't rich, honey, you wanna stay?
Hello, it's me again talking. Hello, Blake. What did you have for lunch?
I had Buffalo Wild Wings street tacos.
Wow, you eat B-dubs quite a bit.
Yep.
Or maybe I'm just
I had a side salad, though, so it wasn't just full fat ass.